Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are speaking with Dr. Haru Okuchi, an activist, researcher, artist, and founder of the Center for Cultural Sexuality and Spirituality. As a revolutionary scholar, he promotes erotic empowerment, social justice, and ecological wellness as human rights. Today, we want to focus on the new publication that he and Robin Oakes have co-edited, Recognize the Voices of Bisexual Men, and it is a collection of short fiction, poetry, creative nonfiction, personal narratives, critical essays, and visual art with over 61 contributors. Welcome, Doctor. All righty. So tell us a little bit about the book today, Doctor.
So Recognize has been in development for about 3 years. Robin started it, started the process 3 years ago as a result of being queried in her speaking engagements about resources for and by bisexual men. And as you know, she edits the Bi Women's newsletter quarterly. That's an amazing resource by women, but also people who are interested in bi women issues and narratives and stories. And so she started a process to create a special issue of Bi Women, the Bi Women's Quarterly for and about bi men, and sent out a call, and I responded and said, hey, so tell me more about the project. And we had met briefly at the PFLAG Queens Awards reception where Robin received an award. We talked about the idea, and I said, well, I'm interested, and if you need some help or want to work in partnership with a bi man, that, that's something that I'd be interested in doing. And she said, hey, yeah, sure, definitely. So we began to think about the project and expanding it into being an anthology, and approach the Bisexual Resource Center about being the publisher for it, and they jumped at the idea. They thought it was a great and needed opportunity for bisexual men to tell our stories. And I had co-edited a monograph and special issue of the Journal of Bisexuality with Dr. Lorraine Hutchins on spirituality, and so had some experience working with some of the powerful bi women leaders in the contemporary bi movement, and so this was another opportunity to do so in working with Robin, and it's been a great experience, and it's out this week just in time for Bisexual Awareness Week.
It's great.
I can't wait to get my copy.
Yeah,
I really can't.
As a bisexual man, I really appreciate this book, and I know it's going to mean a lot to us. Could you talk about, as an editor, going through these 61 pieces, what are some of the points that you found came up over and over, and what did you learn as an editor?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think one of the moving pieces for me about the text is its diversity. So we have contributors who are cisgender, who are transgender men, from ranging ages in early 20s to, 70 years of age. And so that diversity, I think, is important. The ethnic diversity that exists as well. We have people who are first time contributors to a publication, and folks who are established members of the arts or communications or writing community. And so that diversity, I think, is one of the moving pieces, the really moving pieces of the work. Just a brief anecdote. So I attended a National Endowment for the Humanities Summer Institute recently on Black Aesthetics and Sacred Systems, and one of the participants is the basically the person who wrote the book on Paul Laurence Dunbar. So we were at the salon talking, and she was telling me about a cousin of hers who was bisexual and a member of the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army. And I said, you talking about Kwesi Balogun? And she said, yeah. I said, well, the anthology that I am co-editing, and it will be out this fall, has an article written by a Black bisexual man that talks about his life, that talks about your cousin's life. And she began to tear up because mm-hmm. it's an untold story or a little told story about a Black bisexual man in the social justice liberation struggle in the United States. And so those are the kinds of connections that you just never know will happen out of the blue, the ways in which people can connect with a text like this.
Yes, and how we've been hidden from history. And I think for men, I think for bisexual men, that's just as much as bisexual women, that we've done this work in social justice movements and we're not understood as having been bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that these histories get told. And like, I'm very appreciative. When I get my copy, I'm going to go straight there and read that story first.
And there are amazing and powerful stories, some of which are autobiographical and others are less so, that are in the text, as well as the visual arts. We have very, very moving and powerful images taken from movement events by the noted photographer of the bi movement, Efrain Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And we also have visual art, some sketchings that are really, really powerful and evocative from Jay Christopher. So there are just so many pieces to this work that people can really open up and enjoy.
Great.
As a bisexual woman, we do have these stories, you know, available to us for us women, and this is a landmark because there isn't really this kind of thing for like our young bisexual men to read and, you know, connect with and you know, make part of their lives to look up to. And our people of color really need this so much. So we are so appreciative.
And J. Christopher Neal, I didn't mention his last name. J. Christopher Neal just started a discussion group for bisexual men of color in New York City. And so he's newly in the movement as a bi activist, organizing safe and creative spaces for bisexuals, and was able to contribute to this this text toward the end. Actually, we were toward the end of the manuscript, and I made contact with him and found out that he was a visual artist, and looked at his work and said, "Hey, why don't you send us some stuff? Let's see if we can put this in." So it's just an amazing piece. I want to just let your audience know there are several sections to the text. So we have sections on identity, on challenging labels, liminality, on institutions. We have a section called anger, angst, and critique, a section on bodies and embodiment, religion and spirituality, traveling, relationships, and we have a resource section as well.
Wow. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited hearing about it. I actually saw the copy a couple times in the last couple days, but it'll be nice to actually get my hands on it and read through it. Move on. You're a major bisexual activist. Can you tell us the other work that you do?
Sure. So I am a member of the faculty at Goddard College, professor of interdisciplinary studies there. I also currently chair the faculty council, and in that work as an academic, helping students to explore and study issues related to sexuality and ethnicity and race and class, social identities, and also looking at social movements and working for social justice and ecological well-being. I'm the founder and chief erotics officer of the Center for Culture, Sexuality, and Spirituality. And in that work, we create learning opportunities for people to explore the erotic as power and as a force for sexual liberation and sensual empowerment. We provide resources, we work on lesson plans, we create retreats and workshops and other kinds of learning opportunities for people across all sexualities, cultures, ethnicities, and genders and classes. And we also operate a website, sacredsexualities.org, where we provide space for the critical engagement of culture, sex, and spirituality/religion.
Yeah, great. I'll say that I was very appreciative in reading some of your critique of the work that the LGBT movement is doing in Africa and LGBT issues in African countries, and you giving the understanding of sexuality in Africa is understood very differently than the West, and that our activists sometimes don't get that.
Yes, and I would also extend that to the African diaspora as well. So our notions of the gay rights movement, gay liberation movement, and with it the sexual identity development are very much socially constructed. They're culturally bound. They come out of the experience of mainly middle class people of European descent, both in Europe and the West, United States, Australia, what have you, and those ideas, the values, the principles, the assumptions that underlie those ideas are not necessarily translatable or generalizable outside of that context. And yet we have now in Africa over the last several years this war that is literally being waged on the bodies of African people between the religious right and the social conservative movements of the West and the mainstream LGBT activist movement in ways that don't respect, honor, value, acknowledge, or appreciate the ways in which gender and sexuality have been understood by African people for millennia. And so we have these imported ideas on both sides. So these imported ideas of sex negativity and sexual repression and gender policing, as well as these imported ideas of homonormativity, what it means to be quote-unquote queer or gay, lesbian, what it means to be transgender that are not applicable to the lived experiences of African people or people of the African diaspora. And so when we take on these clothes, these Western clothes, they don't quite fit. And so we can look awkward in them, and we can look silly in our performance of them, and we do that at our own detriment. We do that in ways that actually undermine our humanity and our well-being.
Yes, exactly. Very important point that the Western civilization needs to understand that what the imposing Western culture on many of these already well-established cultures for, like you said, millennia, how damaging it really is.
Yeah, and I also add that psychiatry and Freudianism and this idea of classifying everything, you know, the same people that were classifying people into the races in those days were classifying terms like homosexual and bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we all can learn by understanding African history of sexuality, for instance, and liberate ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's I think how it should be in a multicultural world, and in a pluralistic world, all of our cultures should add to our understanding of what it means to be, what it means to live, what existence is, what it means to be human. But when we marginalize or ignore certain aspects of the human family in that conversation, we do ourselves a disservice. All of us a disservice in being able to live full lives and to access the wisdom of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree with you.
I'll say I remember reading in Hidden from History. Every culture, when they were dealing with same-sex relations, they always said it was an import from the South, right? So, you know, the Romans, it was imported by the Greeks, Europeans, Western Europeans, it was imported by the Romans. I always look at Leviticus, and see how that awful one line was probably more cultural and anti-Roman than anything else.
And we, in the interest of trying to achieve a political objective, we lose out on the opportunity to critically engage in understanding what's at play, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So people can identify a piece of scripture or a piece of text or a factoid and a statistic, and then use it only to achieve a political objective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that short-sightedness leads to long-term unintended consequences that can have the completely opposite impact than what was originally intended. So we need more. Yeah. We need more thoughtfulness and more strategic thinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
The internet and social media is definitely proving that.
and that's kind of where we bisexuals come in places, because we do see the world. We tend to see the world and a lot more complexity, because just of who we are. And so, you know, I say sometimes to my gay and lesbian allies that, you know, there are things that we offer that you don't see. And I try to say, like, things like that, like,
mm-hmm.
we've had to look at life in various kinds of ways that you haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we understand there are two sides to every story. There's always more to what something is than what you see at first glance. And I think that we're not afraid to learn those things and accept them. So, you know, I do think that is something unique to us.
Well, yeah, I say, as a fence sitter, I can see that grass is brown on both sides of that fence.
But the view is better up here. Come on.
Yeah. You know, I can see, you know, I mean, I think, you know, that idea of the grass is always greener on the other side, and yet we actually see the warts from all sides.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, I would say that Gloria Anzadula has this great concept of the nepatlera, or the borderlands, the person who is comfortable, no, I shouldn't say comfortable, the person who is able to exist within the borderlands of existence, the liminal spaces, the interstitial spaces that allow for a different kind of knowing and a different way of knowing that is very, very important to sustainability. It's very, very important to continuing forward.
Yeah, very well put.
Zadie Smith also wrote an essay after Obama's election, and, you know, she, as a multiracial English woman who always deals with, you know, multiculturalism in her books, was talking about people that are in that borderlands and seeing this hopeful world that doesn't exist and wanting to be there and always being pulled back by those identities, right? And how you have to get, you know, like, it's a job for everyone who is in these border places to really hold on to that prize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that most definitely. I just came from a meeting with a faculty colleague where we're planning for a series on funk, funk as an aesthetic, at our upcoming undergraduate programs residency. And one of the things that that we were talking about is the ways in which funk, as in much of African American cultural production, is sort of like a gumbo. It's a mixture of our African roots and traditions and our engagement with Western cultural aesthetics and our mixing those two in a particular social, cultural, temporal moment in time. And what comes out of it is this funky mixture that can really move you, mm-hmm. you know, and move the body and move the spirit. And so I think that that's another aspect to this benefit and this resource of being in the borderlands and being able to grow and to create in the borderlands.
You actually just got home in the middle of the night from a very busy week already. We are all celebrating Bisexual Awareness Week, and you've been working pretty hard. So thank you for doing all of what you've been doing.
Yes, it's great to see the social media campaign take off. I remember when I first proposed it a month or so ago, and we started to work on what each day would be themed and the hashtags, and and to then, you know, come into, you know, Saturday night wondering, okay, will anybody post? Will anybody tweet?
Yeah.
Will anybody status update? And then to see it take off and to see the conversation, it's really humbling and moving to see that idea come into fruition and take off, and people take ownership of it across the world.
It is. It's been fantastic. A little exhausting, but it's fantastic. And we want to thank you for that, for what you've done so much. All the links will be provided on our website.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just encourage people to participate in the social media campaign for the rest of the week. Today is hashtag Buy Media Day. Tomorrow, Thursday, is recognized by men, hashtag recognized by men. Friday is hashtag by trans, and Saturday is hashtag by allies. And people can find out more about the themes and the details of that at bisexualweek.com. And definitely go to buyresource.net to get more information about the new anthology, Recognize the Voices of Bisexual Men. And look out for us to come to your community to do readings and other kinds of book events to celebrate bisexual masculinities and to further the conversation on the lived experience of bisexuals and how those lived experiences contributes to the human story and the human family.
Great.
Fantastic. And saying anything about those hashtags, there's quite a few different hashtags. You don't have to just stick to just today. That you can use any of them all the time. So
Most definitely. And also the major hashtag is Bi Week. Which people can continue to support.
Yeah, fantastic. Again, we want to thank you for coming on today. And we want to remind everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Goodbye, doctor. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your work.
That went fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. No problem. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.